Welcome. This is the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast with host Rob Giannino, where we have great conversation with really awesome experts from within the fly fishing community. You see, the fly fishing lifestyle is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us. Check out flyfishingjourneys.com for more podcasts, journal-style blog posts, and a link to our social media community. And please subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
All right, thank you, Josh. So I am feeling a bit nostalgic today because I bought my first Watermaster raft in the spring of 2000, 18 years ago, and I sit right now just outside of Missoula, Montana, in the shop of Big Sky Inflatables, the maker of the Watermaster, here with the owner, Rich Stuber. Rich, it's awesome to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you, man.
Rich, thank you for being on our podcast, and let's give our listeners a bit of your background. So you're born and raised in Montana. You're the owner and the operator of Big Sky Inflatables since 2006. You're actually a raft builder before that since 2001, and you're a passionate fly fisherman. Again, thank you for being on our podcast.
Absolutely.
Many people may not know what a Watermaster raft is. Why don't you give our listeners an idea of what the Watermaster is?
The Watermaster raft is a one-man fishing raft, really designed with fishing in mind, fly fishing specifically. It's meant to deflate and go into a backpack, but it's also durable enough to do up to class 4 rapids. So very versatile, allows a lot of access into spots. We've been building these for a long time, and we do a lot of fishing out of them. They open up a lot of water.
Now, some people consider them a kick boat. Why would that term, like, what is that terminology?
Well, the front end is open, so it's a circular tube, but the front end is open so that you can put your feet down in the water and use fins. Allows you to control the boat without using the oars, so it frees your hands up to fish. And with the fins on, you can control the Watermaster really well. You know, you can keep that thing dialed in on your angle, your distance from the bank, speed down the river by slowing it down and matching the current speed. So in a river, it's huge because it really opens up. You're able to fish every inch of every bank.
Well, I am such a huge fan and a passionate supporter of Watermaster because I have had my boat now for 18 years. Yep. And I've taken it all over the world. I've had it up in Quebec, been on float planes, been on jet planes. I've had it out to California. Just caught a ton of great fish in it. Why don't you talk to our listeners a little bit about the different style boats? You have three boats, right? You have the two one-man and the new introduction this year. So why don't you give our listeners an overview?
We have our signature product for years and years now has been the Grizzly and the Kodiak, and those are both the one-man models. The Grizzly is smaller. It's more designed for more packability for the person who wants to hike this thing in the mountain lakes. You can put it in the backpack. It's lighter weight than the Kodiak, and a little bit smaller boat. Size-wise, packs up just a little bit tighter. Kodiak, which is our most popular, it's a foot longer. It's got bigger tubes, though, so it sits up higher in the water. Gives you a lot of room for gear. I mean, these things are meant to take 750 pounds total weight on them, and there's a lot of room to use that weight capacity. So the Kodiak allows a lot more room. The design is a little bit better for the rivers with the pointed bow and stern. It tracks a little bit better. These things are both very maneuverable, and both can do pretty much everything, but the Kodiak is definitely designed for, you know, more exploration, more gear, maybe bring the dog. You know,
that's cool.
And then our new boat, the Bruin, something new that we've been working on for a long time, but it's something that is different to us because it's a two-person. It has a self-bailing drop stitch floor that's really rigid. It's really nice. It's still similar to the design of the Kodiak, but we use very large tubes. It's 11.5 feet long, so you get a lot of room for gear. It sits up really high in the water. And the beauty of it is it's got versatility too. You can use this thing frameless with just benches, some paddles, take the family out and build it up from a lightweight frame all the way up to a full NRS fishing frame with thigh bars and anchor systems, motor mounts. Very versatile. So much bigger boat. The one man, the Grizzly and the Kodiak, you can throw in a backpack and take, you know, into a lake. You can check it on an airplane and take it to Alaska, take it around the world. Just checks as a normal piece of luggage. So that allows for versatility there. The two-man, of course, is much bigger. You're not going to do that. But it allows, obviously, two-plus people to fit in it, just a different style fishing.
So much great information there. And when our listeners hear about the different boats, and really what I am passionate about is getting these things on the water, using them, and what this opens up. And you mentioned these boats can open up water to you, open up fishing. If you put it on a river, you start at point A, you can drift past all those holes that are filled up with waders.
Right.
And get into water that you necessarily couldn't have gotten into before.
Right.
And so what is that real advantage for somebody who's going to stick this in the back of their car and get it on a river? What have you found that people find the most enjoyment of using these boats are in that situation?
Well, I think you said it, access to water that doesn't have as many people. Obviously, when you float, you cover a lot more water, regardless. But the Watermaster allows you to not have to go to the boat launches. I mean, you can find other ways, other spots to get into the river. Whether I know people that pull over in a wide spot on the side of the hideaway, you know, walk down to the river that's 50 yards down the hill. And they can do their own section, create their own section. I even have people in cities using Uber to hop in an Uber and get a shuttle to their put-in, and so when they get out, their car's waiting.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, there's some advantages to lightweight, small, compact.
Yep.
You know, you don't need the boat launch.
Well, let's talk about the Grizzly for a second. Talk about lightweight, small, and compact. What is the total weight of just the raft?
Just the raft is packed is 38 pounds.
38 pounds and just the raft?
That's the raft in the backpack with a foot pump, a patch kit, a seat, and a pair of oars. So the raft itself is only 23 pounds.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And so you can backpack that into a backcountry pond?
Absolutely, yeah. Strap the raft and a pair of oars and a pump and a seat, you know, to a, even a pack frame if you want to make it really easy.
But, I mean, we're talking like a backpack.
Yeah.
Just throw it on your back like a backpack.
Yep.
Hike it in.
Yep. And it comes with a backpack.
It comes with, and so what would be some of the advantages over like a float tube?
Float tube, most float tubes you hang in the water. I mean, you're in a Watermaster, you're completely dry unless you choose to put your feet down in the water and use fins. And you can put your feet up out of the water on a foot strap, grab the oars, and just stay dry. You don't necessarily have to get wet. Usually in float tubes, you're pretty much destined to be in the water at some point. Durability, obviously, is huge. I mean, our boat allows you to do class fours because it can bang off the boulders and rocks and sticks and that kind of thing. Float tubes generally are still water, so, you know, the nice thing about the Grizzly and still water is it's real low profile, but a much bigger footprint that sticks to the water because it has so much contact. Big enough tubes, you're not drawing a bunch, still easy to row, but it doesn't get blown around, not near as a, you know, a float tube or even a pontoon boat that sits you up too high. Float tubes are, you're kind of at the mercy of the wind. And of course, not having oars.
I was going to say,
is a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, I took my Watermaster on my back into a backcountry pond in Maine, but Baxter State Park, and my two buddies were laughing at me because they had their little float tubes, and they were going to just chuck down the trail. You know, they flew by me, right. And I took one step after another. You know, I had about 40 pounds on my back, and so I took my time down the trail. It's about a mile and a half, and so they beat me. They beat me to the water. They beat me setting up. They beat me on the water. But I got there, I blew up my raft, it takes about 7 minutes. I got it on the water, and I passed them with my oars to the vision spot because, you know, now they have to kick across the pond.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, if we're going to the other side of the pond, I just went right by them.
Yep.
And now if the fish is rising a little bit further away than they are, now you've got a kick over there with me. I can just put up my oars, get to the rising fish, cast for them. And
drop your fins back in. And
have a great time. It. Yeah. And I think that's the thing with the Watermaster is they're so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a ton of fun because, you know, I tell people there's no place I'd rather be than fly fishing. And there's no place I'd rather fly fish than out of my Watermaster. That's how cool these boats are. So awesome. Let's talk about the Kodiak now. That's a little bigger.
Right. A little bigger. So that's the one that, you know, has a larger deck space behind the rower. So you get a lot more room for gear. And it does have bigger tubes so that it supports more weight capacity. So we're, you know, if you want to do a 5-6 day plus, I mean, we've had people do 21 day trips in Alaska or single manned.
That's incredible.
This is a real Alaskan that has lived in the bush for a while. You know, he knows what he's doing. So that is a big play in it. But he took it for that long. I mean, I've had April Vokey up in BC. They did a 9-day trip out of Watermasters. Took everything they needed. So the Kodiak just allows you to bring a lot more gear, a lot more stuff, pack it down, and then still be able to row it effectively, still be able to use the fins effectively because you're not dragging in the water. The Kodiak has a pointed balanced stern, and that's where the biggest tubes are on the boat, or the front and back. It allows for you to put a bunch of weight on the back, and it compensates so you're not riding with your tip up out of the water like you would in a rockered boat or a kayak or something like that with weight on the back. So it sits nice and level and allows you to fish with a ton of weight back there. And trust me, 750 is, I mean, I'd be darn near unless you're bringing lead and hard to even get to.
Yeah.
We've tried it.
Well, I've seen people, you know, you've seen in the fly fishing videos that you have people in these backcountry trips where they have like the whole front's all jacked up with gear. The whole back's all jacked up with gear.
Yep.
And you've got like, you know, you can put a cooler or you can put all your gear. You get the dry bag that the boat comes in can be your gear bag.
Absolutely.
For all
After
your camping gear.
You assemble your boat, you have a 7 cubic foot dry bag backpack that you can fill with all your gear and put it on the back. Yeah.
Let's talk about the new addition to your rafts this year. The Bruin.
The Bruin. The two-person.
Tell our listeners why you decided to build a two-person and some of the features that it would come with as opposed to the Kodiak or Grizzly.
The two-person came about years ago. I mean, honestly, from customer demand, people wondering why we're not doing one that they can take their friend or their girlfriend or their wife or, you know, whoever with. And maybe someone that's not comfortable being in their own boat, regardless of how awesome the one-mans are. We worked on it. We've been working on it for a long time. And it started in different phases, even bottomless for a while, which you can still do with the one we build. But, you know, we wanted it right. We wanted to make it to where it was stable. It had a lot of weight capacity. It had a lot of room. So, yes, it's a lightweight two-person, but you still have room for a cooler. You still have room for maybe bring the dog along. Bunch of gear if you do a long trip. It's planning on going down the Smith this year. Jeremy's going to take it down. And so that's going to be a long trip with a lot of gear and two people. And so it's nice. It's got a different use. I mean, again, it's not lightweight and packable like the one man's, but it is, the boat itself folds up 65 pounds, goes into a wrap bag. And then depending on what style frame you put on it, so this boat can be used frameless with just the benches, some paddles, and I mean, it's big enough that you can put a few people in there and just go out on a lake and recreate, you know, float down a mild river and recreate. But then you can put a lightweight frame on it, and we could do NRS frames. You can set that thing up on there to where it just gives you the oar-lock system, but again, keeps it lightweight because you're using the benches, all the way up to a full NRS fishing frame, thigh bar, the anchor system, motor mount, you can put a motor on them. And they're self-bailing. I think the biggest difference between us and a lot of other people is our self-bailing. The drop stitch floor allows for a super rigid floor to stand on, flat, and then it's a high-volume self-bailer. So if you take a big wave on, the water goes out very quickly. There's a difference between the high volume and then a more low volume self-bailer. So ours is rated class 4, the Bruin, as well as both the Kodiak and the Grizzly are all rated for class 4. And that's based on their stability, on their durability, you know, and then of course the portability, being able to walk it around something. The Bruin is perfect for when you come around the corner and you got a big sweeper and a log and you're stuck and in a big raft or a drift boat, you'd be in trouble, whereas two people can grab this and walk around, you know, the obstacle, drop back in and continue on with their day.
So where have you seen the interest so far for this type of boat as far as the types of rivers?
You know, a lot of interest on shallow, you know, rivers that get thin and shallow because it goes through so much less water. I mean, 4 or 5 inches depending on how much weight you have in there. And you're floating without dragging. And so even around here on the big hole in the summer when it gets super low and most people are dragging their rafts through all the shallow spots, this thing goes through it. And of course, then if it does get too shallow, it's a lot easier to move.
Right.
You know, and we've had them out on the market now for over a year. We've built them and put them on the water for several years.
What are some of the places that you've taken your Watermaster?
Oh boy, all over the place. We'll leave Montana out because that's a long list. But we'll, you know, I've taken it to the Gunnison River. I went through the Black Canyon with Black Canyon anglers, and that was a lot of fun. Not a whitewater guy, but after that, I appreciate even more how stable and tough as nails these are. Because I ran into a few of the boulders doing that stuff, and that's class 3 and 4 whitewater through a tight canyon. For several miles. That was a couple-day trip, and that was a lot of fun. We've taken them to Alaska, the Kenai, you know, with the River Drifters Lodge there. Nick and those guys are great, and we did the Kenai, and that was unbelievable, you know, and it opened up a lot of the little back channels and stuff that the bigger boats wouldn't go through.
Sure.
So, I mean, I've taken it to Pescamaya, actually. We went down with a couple boats to Pescamaya in Mexico.
Ascension Bay?
Yeah, Ascension Bay. You know, Rogelio there wanted to try them out in the lagoons and that slow water just by the dock, and that's what they use them for. Obviously, they're not taking them out in the bay, but they're using it there just for all those fish that hang out right there at the dock. You know,
that's fine.
Clients can hop out. So they've been a lot of places, and I've taken them to quite a few places.
And then you have Team Watermaster using them all over the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've been to about every continent now, as far as I can tell. They've traveled the world. I mean, years and years of stories of people taking these to, you know, Alaska, to Canada and BC and the Arctic. You know, I've got the Intense media guys, Courtney Boyce and Derek Ulthius, Phil Tuttle and Sam Parkinson. And those guys do some amazing films. So they've taken these boats everywhere. Iceland, the Arctic, Alaska, British Columbia. They've taken them all over the place, and they use them, they abuse them, they do a lot of the product testing when it comes to
heavy lifting,
because boy, they've beaten on them and still have yet to put a patch on them or send them back for repair, or
that's,
you
awesome.
Know, and they've taken them everywhere. They throw them on a plane, they check them on a plane, just another piece of luggage. So.
And some of our listeners have probably seen these guys, and through the International Fly Fishing Film Festival, you guys are sponsors of
Absolutely.
The film festival. Watermaster is an official sponsor of the film festival, and some of our listeners may have seen Courtney and Phil and Derek and Sam out on these videos, like Seriously North this year. That was awesome.
Amazing. Yep.
Big Arctic char fishing.
Yep. Loads of weight, because those guys were having to float, you know, just in the middle of nowhere. And they had, I mean, who knows, I didn't ask them the poundage. It looks about like 500 pounds of gear, front and back, you know, loaded to bear. So.
And then last year, the Hidden out in Iceland.
That was a beautiful picture, yeah. They did a really good job. That is a must-see, and I think you can check that one out on Vimeo now.
But, yeah.
That is a must-see.
Love that movie.
Yep.
Those guys are doing some incredible work. Intense Media.
Yeah.
Not intense. Intense. I actually just read Derek's article in Fly Fusion magazine about Seriously North. Yeah, he had a great new article in this issue, the spring issue.
Magazine just came. I have yet to open up, obviously.
I grabbed it off of the shelf. It's a great read. Beautiful pictures. I myself have taken the Watermaster down some pretty serious whitewater. The Rapid River in Maine, mm-hmm. That's 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. Pretty aggressive all the way through. Some big boulders under there that you got to meander through. The Deerfield River mm-hmm. in Western Mass has a Zora Gap. It's actually a section that the kayaking team uses for training. 3+, right through the gap. Actually went through it by mistake. Because we didn't think the water was up. We thought it was low. When we started at the top by the dam, the water was down. And so, yeah, we'll go through the gap today. That'll be cool. But as we were drifting down, a couple hours later, they had released the water. And by the time we were at the gap, it was too late to make a move.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, no, we're going through the gap at full throttle. And my buddies, like, fell in love with these boats because he was about 10 feet in front of me, and I couldn't even see him. Because the waves were so high between us.
Wow.
And we were like, yahoo! We were like screaming. It's like your own private little whitewater boat.
Yeah, absolutely. You stay in it usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're a ton of fun. And obviously we talked about they work in lakes and ponds just as effectively.
Absolutely.
Just aside from the boats, Rich, what are some of your favorite types of fishing? Where do you like to go? What are some of the things you like to do when you get out there?
You know, I'm not super picky, to be honest with you. Obviously, I love trout fishing. I grew up trout fishing, and so any style, really, depending on how they're feeding, is what I like to do. But I like to travel any chance I get. You know, any chance I get, thankfully, being through the industry, I get a chance to go a few places and, you know, being able to go up to Alaska multiple years in a row and chase king salmon and silvers and giant rainbows, you know, and stuff like that up there has been a lot of fun. So it's nice. I like to travel. I like saltwater. I love saltwater. I've fished Matagorda Bay down in Texas for the redfish and the trout. Destin, Florida, I've done that. Now, that was a lot of fun. Went out and caught a bunch of fish. Unfortunately, the wind destroyed us, so the tarpon were off limits. Mm. You know, when you get the call from the guide half hour before you're supposed to meet him, it's never a phone call that you want,
right,
you want to get. But we went out, still hammer them, you know, caught redfish, caught jacks, caught stuff like that, and it was fun. So I, you know, warm water, fresh water, you know, whatever. I just like the hunt, especially if it's a beautiful place. You know, that's more than half of it, is being out there and doing it, and not necessarily how many fish or what fish you catch. Yeah, standing in the river, listening to go by is not a bad place to be.
What's your next big destination trip you have? Anything on the books?
Crossing my fingers for a Belize trip, going down to see the Blue Horizon people. And
nice.
Maybe I'll take, my wife would like to go along as well on that trip because there's a beautiful beach and a chair. But we're going to take, the plan is to take our new Bruin down with the super lightweight frame set up. And float a river that's near their lodge that's really never been, I mean, definitely not been commercially floated or anything like that. They just opened it up to be able to do that. And there's peacock bass, there's tarpon, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. So we're planning on getting one down there and being able to do that. And that'll be a lot of fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
And then, of course, a tarpon or a permit wouldn't be a bad deal either in the other days.
Yeah.
So, hoping.
Whereabouts in, like, the local Montana waters do you like to fish?
Local Montana, it's a long list, but I'll, you know, locally, I mean, the Bitterroot, of course, is the backyard river, and I love the Bitterroot, the West Fork of the Bitterroot and the main Bitterroot. I like the Clark Fork, of course. It produces really well. It's a cool river, you know, around here in Missoula. And then, you know, places like the Beaverhead is a beautiful one. But lots of places. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do a fair amount, so.
So, Rich, this has been a ton of fun. I thank you for your time and doing our podcast.
Thank
I can't you. Believe I'm here at the shop.
Absolutely.
After all these years.
And now we're going to go fishing.
We're going fishing. Well, that's great. Let's close this podcast down by letting our listeners know exactly how they can find you. You guys have a great Instagram feed.
Yes, it's Watermaster1.
And your Facebook?
Watermaster.
And then BigSkyInflatables.com.
That's it.
Rich, it's been a ton of fun. Thank you for doing this podcast.
Absolutely.
Hey, how about we go fishing?
Absolutely.
Let's grab Jeremy. He's been patient. He's been patient over there.
He's itching.
Let's go fishing.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and follow us on Facebook. And please like and share our podcast with your friends. For past episodes or to read our journal blog posts, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you are on this journey with us.